You are listening to an American Free Press podcast. Joining me on the line is Victor Thorne. He's going to talk about his new book, Made in Israel, 9/11 and the Jewish Plot Against America. Victor, thanks for joining us today.
Well, it's great to be here, Dave. I'm glad you have me on.
Victor, I read your book, of course, 9/11 Evil, Israel's Central Role in the September 11th, 2001 Terrorist Attacks. When was that book put out, Victor, the 9/11 book?
That was a 5th anniversary edition, so that was put out in 2006.
Here's my question. Your first book, 9/11 Evil, about Israel's involvement in 9/11, was on the 5th year anniversary, which was, of course, 2006. This book is on the 10th year anniversary. The information is, well, it got me angry. The reason it got me angry is because you detail so much information about Israel's involvement, the Mossad's involvement, the neocons' involvement in 9/11, and it's been 10 years. And the researchers, quote-unquote, in the 9/11 truth movement, and let's just talk about the main guy, which is David Ray Griffin. He's written quite a few books, and I don't think he's really ever given any more than minimal coverage to Israel's involvement in 9/11. Am I wrong, or is that true?
No, you're absolutely correct. And what's really interesting about this book is that when you are talking about Israeli involvement, neocon involvement, Jewish involvement is the key word, is that this was a Jewish operation. And that's what we have to really start focusing on now, because it's been 10 years. And ironically, an interesting thing happened today was that David Ray Griffin sent out some publicity emails for his new book, which will be his 10th book now, 10th book on 9/11. And so I got one of these promos for it, and I wrote back to him, and I said, I also published a 10-year anniversary book that provides in great detail Israel's central role in the 9/11 attacks. I said, now that you've published 10 books on your own, how much coverage have you given to Israel's role in these attacks? And then finally, I said, without directly identifying the culprit, how can anyone solve a crime? Now, that's, I think, really to the crux of it, Dave, is how could anybody solve a crime if you won't point a finger of blame at who's actually behind the crime? Now, David Ray Griffin wrote back to me earlier today, and he says, on your question, we have different views about possible efficacy. Now, I didn't even know how to pronounce that word, actually. I didn't know what it meant because I'm not one of these big ivory tower intellectuals, Dave. I had to go to dictionary.com and not only read what it meant, but also how to say the word.
Right.
And it means effectiveness is what it means. So why not just say effectiveness? Obviously, I was never invited into the Scholars for 9/11 Truth, but the way I view the world is, because of my past, I have a fair amount of street smarts, and I have lots of common sense, and I think I have pretty good instincts. In other words, I can tell when something sounds right and when something doesn't sound right. And I know one thing for certain is that people, by and large, across the board, want to know who committed a crime. Any crime. Any crime there is, people want to know who did it. And we know this because of all the police shows that are on television, and all the courtroom movies that have been released over the last 100 years, and all the true life crime books that are out there. Humans are curious by nature. We want to know things. So when David Ray Griffin says that this isn't an effective technique, I think that such a strategy is rubbish. It's hogwash. To say this isn't effective to identify who is behind the biggest terrorist attack of the 21st century, something doesn't sound right about that to me. Now, when I talk about David Ray Griffin, and I'll get into a little bit more the email I responded to him to, but I want to make something perfectly clear right off the bat that in the past, I interviewed him twice, if not three times, on Wing TV. I met him once down in Washington, D.C. at a 9/11 protest, which I think was in 2006. He's included on the two-disc Wing TV 9/11 collection that we have published. And I've quoted David Ray Griffin numerous times in my articles and in my book. So he's been a positive influence within the 9/11 research community by and large. The New Pearl Harbor and his 9/11 Commission report were outstanding. They were great books. So do I think he's a bad guy? Absolutely not. There's nothing personal about this. What I'm saying could apply to him or really hundreds of other people in the 9/11 research community. Why won't they identify Israel as the primary moving force behind 9/11? Why won't they do that? It's really interesting because I'd say maybe 2 or 3 months ago I did a radio interview and they were talking about the upcoming 10th anniversary of 9/11. So I started talking about Israeli involvement. And I could tell right away that they were getting a little bit uncomfortable with this subject. They were squirming around in their seats. And finally the host, and I don't even remember what his name was, Dave, in all honesty, but he says, "I don't think we should be talking about this subject at this time." And I said, "Well, it's been almost 10 years. I said, "When do you think will be the proper time to talk about this?" And the host said, "Maybe in about 15 years. So I said, "Well, it's been 10 years now, and if we add another 15 years to that, then you're saying that only 25 years after the fact, then people should be allowed to start talking about Israeli involvement." I was floored. I was absolutely floored by his comment. I would put it basically that 95 to maybe 99% of everyone involved in the quote-unquote 9/11 truth movement still, 10 years after the fact, refuses to talk about the central issue right now. So to get into, if you want, I'd like to go over some of the things I said
to
David Ray Griffin.
Let me ask you this before you do that. Do you think it's time to take the gloves off?
I think I've already taken the gloves off years ago. I make no bones about this, that there is no other subject right now other than this, because we figured out 99% of what happened on 9/11. And if you go to the AFP special report, the 24-page issue that we just put out, everything's covered there. These are the best researchers in the world, and we've gotten to the bottom of everything, or at least as well as we can right now. So there is only one thing left. It's pointing the finger at the 800-pound gorilla inside the room. So I wrote back to David Ray Griffin, and I actually got this from you, Dave, talking to you earlier today. And I said, as the author of 10 books on 9/11, I would have expected you to say to me, "Hey, Victor, why don't you send me your book so I can learn as much as possible about the 9/11 attacks?" You would think if people have a natural curiosity about things that here's the most prolific 9/11 writer that there is, David Ray Griffin. Anyone that writes a book on 9/11, if they contact me, I said, "Yeah, send me a copy of your book if you would see how many I have in my library right now." So you would think that's what he'd say. Basically, what I said to David Ray Griffin today is what I've said to many people in the past, so I'm just reiterating this again. But I said, here's the way I view this situation, and this is directed right to David Ray Griffin. I said, what if somebody killed your family and destroyed your house, which is what happened on 9/11? People were killed, and the World Trade Center towers were destroyed. So what if somebody did that to him? Naturally, you would think someone would be outraged. If this was David Ray Griffin, or you, Dave, or me, or really anybody else, I imagine we'd call investigators and we'd say, "I want to know who committed these crimes." So the investigators come to your house and there's the dead people laying on the floor and there's your house burned down or destroyed or bombed or whatever it was. And you say, "Who did this?" And the investigators say, "Well, they were driving a blue car." Okay, and then you say, all right, they're driving a blue car, but who were they? And the investigators say, "Well, they wore brown pants and they had white shirts on." And you're like, okay, but who committed the crimes? And the investigators say, "Well, they were 5'11" tall." You're starting to get a little frustrated by this point. And it's like, "Tell me who did it. That's all I want to know. Who did this?" And the investigators say, "Well, they wore tennis shoes." And finally, you're exasperated. "Who did it? Tell me once and for all, who planned this? Who coordinated it? Who orchestrated these crimes?" And the investigators say, "Well, even though we know, we're not going to tell you who did it." And you're like, "What? Why won't you tell me who did it?" If you keep silent about this, you're basically protecting the criminals that were involved in it. Not basically, you are. So by remaining silent for 10 years now, you're allowing mass murderers to be free, to get away with it.
To walk.
And so the investigators, they turn around and they're getting ready to walk away. And they say, "Well, we have different views on possible efficacy." Well, right there I reiterated David Ray Griffin's words. But then they say, "Well, we can tell you what their favorite color is." So what this is saying is, by telling you what kind of tennis shoes and what color pants and what color car they drove and how tall they were, this is my way of saying, we know all about the controlled demolition. We know all about the Pentagon. We all know about Shanksville and the military stand down and the plane swapping and everything else. But they won't tell you who did it. And it's been 10 years now. And why won't they? How many more years do we have to wait? 10 more years? 15 more years? Now, the big question is, why won't they point the finger?
Right.
In Made in Israel, this 10th anniversary book, the introductory chapter starts with a preface that says that, in my opinion, and I think the opinion of many other legitimate 9/11 researchers, is that the 9/11 truth movement was created before 9/11 ever happened. In other words, if you're going to implement a crime of this vastness and this destruction with this far-reaching impact, don't you think you're going to also have this info artist in place right off the get-go to start diverting everybody in opposite directions, giving them red herrings, leading them down different rabbit holes, and so forth? Well, of course you are. And considering how horribly they pulled this operation off, where the World Trade Center tower controlled demolition with anybody, Dave, that has an eighth grade understanding of science realizes buildings don't come down that way. Anyone that looked at the Pentagon right after this event occurred, realized there was no plane there. And when we look at Shanksville, we see a 20-foot crater that a 757 was supposed to be swallowed up inside of. None of it made sense.
Right.
Anyone with an inquiring mind, anyone with a critical mind realizes the whole thing was bunk. It was bogus. So they have these disinfo artists there getting everybody going in wrong directions. But then around 2004 or so, David Ray Griffin appears on the scene, writes these great books. Everybody welcomes him into the movement, and he gives it some legitimacy, because for the first two or three years when being a 9/11 researcher was actually really dangerous and you were accused of committing treason to question the government, all us guys that were doing this, none of us were credentialed, none of us were doctors or professors, or we didn't have any initials after our names. So then we have scholars for 9/11 truth and David Ray Griffin and all of these guys that supposedly are legitimate. But what they're doing is still not only taking a lot of our research and making it their own then, but they're still not pointing the finger at Israel. And around this time, around 2003, 2004, is when the real strong information about Israeli involvement was really starting to be published and so forth. And by the fifth anniversary, as I said, 9/11 evil came out. So we need these other guys to counteract that, to not talk about Israel. And if we jump ahead to the 10-year anniversary, they're still not talking about it. So a lot of these guys were deliberately put in place not to talk about that. The second reason is there's a lot of these guys, like I said, that are scientists, that are professors, that are professionals, that have careers, that they can't put that on the line. If they start talking about Israel, they're going to be blackballed. They're going to be fired from their positions. They're going to be ostracized and so forth. So they can't do that. So they have to play it safe. Well, we can talk about controlled demolitions in our little circles, and we can talk about Al-Qaeda in our little circles, but God forbid we talk about Israel, because if we do, there's going to be hell to pay afterwards, and they're worried about things like that. Those are a couple reasons right off the bat. And then third is that there's just absolute disinfo artists out there that don't care whatsoever. That's what their paid job is by the government, is to lead people in the wrong direction. So that's why they don't talk about it.
It's really disturbing, because I imagine that many people would want to have investigators approach a crime, which is exactly what this is, as you said, and not exclude anything. But it seems otherworldly that this topic cannot be broached by anyone except for people who don't care. Is there anybody else out there?
Oh, yeah. There's people out there. John Kaminsky talks about Israel's role. Now, I published his first book, I think it's called The Day America Died, and he broached the topic even before 9/11 evil came out. So, yeah, there's others out there who will talk about this, but not many. And what I write in Made in Israel, in the introductory chapter, I say, any 9/11, and this is in quotations, truther, any 9/11 truther who fails to expose Israel's role has, in essence, chosen to protect the worst killers among us.
Do you think that Griffin is part of the disinformation campaign?
I think he's part of the omission campaign. He simply omits it. This would be like, Dave, if you wrote 10 books on Lee Harvey Oswald. In none of those 10 books do you mention that he was shot and killed by Jack Ruby, a.k.a. Jack Rubenstein. So how could anybody write 10 books about Lee Harvey Oswald and not mention that he was shot by Jack Ruby, his killer, the person behind the crime? And if you take it even further, obviously Jack Ruby wasn't the lone nut killer in this little escapade, that there were people behind him that had to silence Lee Harvey Oswald. But that's, I guess, the best analogy is someone writing 10 books about Oswald and not mentioning Jack Ruby. It's inconceivable.
I just don't get it. That's the thing. I don't get it. I don't understand. I really don't understand how these people can masquerade as 9/11 truthers and not concentrate one little bit.
I get it because 99% of them are fake 9/11 truthers. So they're among their own. You know, whether they're deliberate disinfo or it's omission or whatever, there's nobody questioning David Ray Griffin in the 9/11 truth movement. When he goes to his conferences, there's not people standing up and asking him or challenging him, why aren't you talking about Israel? Because they're all among their own. See, one thing I noticed early on, and this was way back in the trenches, in the first years after 9/11, is all of these 9/11 sites started popping up. 9/11truth.org and 9/11 this and 9/11 that. And you know what they did was they all linked to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't link to any of the legitimate sites like Wing TV or American Free Press or Dave McGowan or John Kaminsky or any of these other guys. So what they have is this incestuous little cabal where they all bounce around among each other. And what they want to do is if somebody's out there that's not conspiracy minded, but then all of a sudden starts scratching their head and says, you know what, something doesn't seem right about 9/11. So they go on Google, punch in 9/11 conspiracy, 9/11 truth, and you go right to 9/11truth.org. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh man, this is fantastic. And then you see all the links down the side of the page, 9/11 this, 9/11 that, and you start bouncing all around. But there's no real 9/11 truth there, Dave.
Right.
So what they do is they act as a corral. You have people in the Fox News corral, and you have people in the CNN corral, and people in the ABC, NBC, CBS corral, people in the MSNBC corral. And then if they get disillusioned with them, they bounce onto another site. Oh, and it's the 9/11truth.org corral.
Mm.
And they stay in that little circle because they all link to each other, and they never get outside of it. So it's all very ingeniously planned, and I have a book called 9/11 Betrayed that's available on the Wing TV site, wingtv.net, that the entire book is about the phony 9/11 truth movement. We analyzed this. We talked about it on Wing TV. The whole thing is clear to me. There's no mystery any longer that they're all put in place to keep people away from the fundamental question, which is Israel's role. And then what you have also is a lot of useful idiots. The people that think they're on the right path, but they're too gullible or naive or resistant to actually challenge these people and ask them, why aren't you talking about this? If there's like a chat room there or a forum, what happens, and this happened back in the Wing TV days, is we were told, if you talk about Israel, you will be banned from this forum. That's it. It's all right there. People like Janice Matthews actually did that. Janice Matthews actually threatened to kick and did kick people off of websites if they spoke about Israel's role in 9/11. If there is such a thing as 9/11 truth, why are they so afraid of the truth? How can a truth movement be afraid of truth?
That's what I don't get. By talking about this, I think there could be some people who might feel that it's very conspiratorial, that Israel or Jews could control all of these people to do what they did, to say, look, you're not allowed to talk. How nonsensical is it to say that? You're not allowed to talk about Israel. What? I can talk about whatever I want to talk about.
Well, let me ask you this, though. How successful has it been 10 years later?
Incredibly successful.
Yeah. So there is a conspiracy there if 10 years later they've been this absolutely effective in what they were trying to do. They didn't want their role known, and they've been effective. So if people say, oh, well, this is too conspiratorial, well, it is conspiratorial because look at the end result. They were successful. They are successful. And if it wasn't for this handful of researchers and a publication like American Free Press, they would be 100% effective.
It's just mind-blowing where somebody can say, no, we really don't want you to talk about that.
Yeah.
What? Excuse me?
Well, and they get away with it because then if it's broached one more time, they're banished from these forums. We have verifiable proof that this has happened in the past. Now, getting back to David Ray Griffin,
right,
in the closing lines of this email I sent to him, I said, David, what if somebody killed the people in your family and destroyed your house? I said, don't you think the police or investigators or detectives or whatever you want to call them, don't they have a responsibility to identify the people behind the crime? Don't they have a responsibility to say, this was Joe Smith that did it, or this was whoever?
Right.
They have a responsibility. So anyone in good conscience, how can they keep protecting mass murderers? And every person, like I said earlier, every person in this so-called 9/11 truth movement that fails to identify the mass murderers, then how can they look at themselves in the mirror? How can they have any type of conscience whatsoever? They know of Israel's role, and they can't play stupid with me or anybody else. They know what Israel did because they go out there and read this information. That's why David Ray Griffin, I'm sure, didn't ask me for my book. Is then he has plausible denial. He says, oh, well, I didn't read that book. You know, that's why he didn't ask for it. So what they have here, Dave, is a protection racket so that these monsters can go free. And in my view, it's inexcusable. I could never, ever, ever look at myself in the mirror if I kept withholding this type of information. And it's, I think, especially egregious with somebody like David Ray Griffin, who might be the most well-known researcher in the 9/11 community, maybe other than Dylan Avery, who produced Loose Change. Dylan Avery absolutely refuses to talk about Israel's role in 9/11. And he's released three different versions of Loose Change. This has been viewed by millions of people.
And it doesn't mention Israel at all.
No, there's no mention whatsoever of Israeli involvement in any of the three versions that he's released. And in Made in Israel, I actually list all of the people in the 9/11 quote-unquote truth movement that are actually Jewish themselves, one of them being Dylan Avery. So there's quite a number of these people that are, because of their allegiance to Israel or allegiance to the Jewish religion or the Jewish people or whatever, they've said this is taboo. They won't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
That's un-American, and it should be unacceptable.
I think it's unhuman.
Well, it's inhuman, too. You want to talk about something being un-American? That's un-American. That's traitorous.
It's traitorous because they are protecting mass murderers. This was a crime not only against the American people, but against our nation. And these people know of Israel's involvement. And you're right, Dave, that's the proper word. This is traitorous, what they're doing. I've been saying it for years, that it's traitorous. It's treasonous. That they're betraying not only their country, they're betraying the human race. And not talking about who did the worst terrorist attack of the 21st century. That's what they're doing.
That's why I said before, is it time to take the gloves off? And you said you have already taken the gloves off. And in many ways you have, of course, compared to most other people, you certainly do. But here, it's been 10 years. I guess that's why I'm angry. It's been 10 years, and you still can't talk about a major component of 9/11. Give our listeners just an example. Of course, it's going to benefit them if they get the book themselves and read the book and learn on their own. So I don't want to tell them everything about, and I'm sure you don't either, but let them know about some major part of Israel's involvement. What's the most significant part of Israel's involvement in 9/11 that really hasn't been talked about much or at all?
I don't even know if I can answer that, but I'll show how systematically it's been laid out here by simply going down the table of contents. What I did in this book was every single name that's listed, then I put if they're Jewish right next to their name. What it does is it reinforces over and over and over and over and over again how predominant they are in this operation. I list all the New York City insiders, people that arranged the sale of the World Trade Center towers, those who insured it, the person who bought it, Larry Silverstein, his role in WTC-7 and bringing it down, how much insurance money he collected, who operated the security, not only at the World Trade Center complex, but at all the airports of departure. We have vast amounts of information on the dancing Israelis and urban moving systems that employed them, which was really nothing more than a shell for the Mossad. Dov Zakim, who is possibly the mastermind behind this whole thing, all the connections to the Mossad, the 9/11 Commission cover-up, all the judges and attorneys and people inside the government that were Jewish, the Israeli spy rings that were operated before 9/11, and their connection to the Muslim patsies that ended up being the fall guys for this, all the neocons who were the Israeli firsters. And what it comes to, Dave, is this is the final taboo. This is the dangerous stuff. If people want to scratch the surface, if they want to dance around the edges, if they want to walk on eggshells, to use a lot of cliches, go read the other books. If you want to be in the minor leagues, go read the other books.
Right.
But if you want to get into major leagues and you want to know the truth, this is the book to get. This is it. This is the major leagues. And this isn't people like Alex Jones, who's just going to fearmonger you and dance around the edges and be part of the Israeli protection racket. This is the stuff that the ADL doesn't want you to read. This is the stuff that the Southern Poverty Law Center doesn't want you to read. If they could ban books, this is the book they would ban. Speaking of which, about how subjects aren't allowed to be discussed. On September 11th of this year, up in Toronto, there's going to be some hearings up there. Dave, I've written 6 books on 9/11. I have 2 other books that have major chunks of them that have stuff in them about 9/11. I've published 2 books, and I'm going to publish a third by other writers on 9/11. I have the 2-set Wing TV collection with probably 24 interviews with the best people in the field. Plus, we have the 24-page AFP special report on 9/11 that I put together that you have an article in. Considering that, I think I probably have more information out there than even David Ray Griffin. But Dave, a weird thing happened is my phone hasn't rang yet to be one of the witnesses or one of the presenters at this Toronto hearing. I wonder why that is. Here's some of the things they're going to talk about up there. This is from their website. They're going to talk about or discuss Al-Qaeda. Huh, that's pretty interesting. They're going to talk about the controlled demolitions and the military stand down and false flag terrorism. They have listed some of the witnesses. They call them witnesses. These are going to be the presenters of the evidence. David Ray Griffin's going to be there. I think he should be there. He's done enough research. Now, another guy is Peter Dale Scott. Well aware of him, carry one of his books on the Wing TV website, but he's not a 9/11 researcher. Now, Dave, when I put together this 24-page special report for American Free Press, I contacted the best of the best in this field, okay? I know every single major player in the 9/11 field that there is.
Right.
Now, here are some of the key participants in the Toronto hearings. Lori Maxwell, never even heard of her. Graham McQueen, never heard of him or her.
I think that's a guy. I think he's the one who's putting it on.
Okay, never heard of him. Lance DeHaven Smith, never heard of him. James Gurley, never heard of him. Adnan Zuberi, never heard of him. Now, these are the people that are supposed to expose 9/11 truth, and in the 10 years that I've been integrally involved in this field, I've never even heard of these people? How the hell can that be? One of the people that was supposed to show up there, or at least via video, was April Gallup.
Right.
The woman who was at the Pentagon on the morning of 9/11 with her little baby, and after this event, because I don't even call it a plane crash,
right,
the event happened, she was in that wing of the Pentagon and walked out through the hole, and she said, I didn't see anything that resembled a plane. Now, she works for the Pentagon. She's in the military. I would think, Dave, that if anybody knows what a plane looks like, maybe it's someone that works at the Pentagon, huh? Maybe it would be April Gallup. So she was supposed to be a presenter at the Toronto hearings, but she was removed from the list of participants. I wonder why. Now, also, Pentagon evidence was supposed to be presented there, but now someone like Craig Reinke, who I interviewed for the 9/11 issue for AFP, he wasn't invited either, nor was anybody from the citizen investigation team that's doing some of the best research out there. None of them were invited to present their information about the Pentagon because, they say, it's too controversial. It's too controversial. Now it's 10 years later.
Yeah.
So if they can't even talk about the Pentagon, God Almighty, think about how they feel about Israel. And what this Toronto hearing, what they're demanding now, Dave, this is their demand. They want a new hearing.
Yeah.
Okay? By who? Who the hell are they going to demand a new hearing from? Who are they? They're going to go up to Dick Cheney or Barack Obama? You know, Barack Obama sure hasn't spoken a lot about 9/11 truth, has he? So these people have no enforcement power.
Right.
So they're going around like they're important. What this is, Dave, is BS. This is another red herring.
Right.
This is another bogus. It's you should be mad, Dave. You know, you've said a couple times you're mad.
Yeah.
You should be. Because we're living in this world of illusion.
It's a matrix.
Yeah, it's a matrix.
You don't know that until you know what you know. Until you find out the truth.
Right.
It is something that really gets me angry. And I think other people should be angry. And I think other people should read this.
Yeah. Anger is a good thing. Anger is an energy. I'm beyond really getting angry about it anymore because I've been through those trenches. And, you know, I've come out the other side and I realize the game. And that's all it is. It's a game that's being played. And I'm cynical and jaded and I have my street smarts and I have my senses about me. And I realize when a con job is being played, I couldn't have said the same thing 7 years ago or 8 years ago, because you know what? I'll be honest. In 2002, 2003, I still thought, you know what? A 9/11 truth movement, we can actually change the world. Now, I even had some suspicions then, but I still wanted to believe.
Right.
And that's the word. That's the key word is, do you want to believe? Do you want this blind faith in something?
That's how Obama got in, right?
Yeah, hope and change. You got to believe and hope and change.
Exactly.
And I talk like someone now who's come through the other side and realizes, do I want to play this little game of theirs anymore? That's why I'm not involved in the 9/11 truth movement,
right.
Is because I realize what it's all about.
Exactly.
And it's minor league. I want to be in the major leagues. I don't want to be in the minor leagues. And that's what these guys are.
And that's why I was saying it's time to take the gloves off, because it's been 10 years and enough is enough.
Yeah, I think we took the gloves off in this interview. I'm speaking as freely as I can speak, and I'm not biting my tongue, and I'm not holding anything back. In all honesty, I never do that anyway.
You know,
I rarely do it. You know, this is basically like, if we weren't even doing a radio interview, this is how we'd be talking anyway.
Not exactly, but yeah, very similar to it.
Except
yeah, but
there'd be a few more profanities coming out of my mouth.
A lot more, yeah, a lot more profanities.
Yeah, a lot more.
Right.
But other than that, this is how we talk.
Right.
And we examine these people and show what phonies they really are.
If you talk about how many years ago you were even a little idealistic about, hey, let's make some good change, let's wake these people up, but it's pretty apparent that with the information that people are digesting now, that they're not going to wake up. With the David Ray Griffin books, they're not going to wake up because, like you said, he doesn't point the finger at anybody.
Yeah.
So if you don't point the finger at anybody, how can you get angry and how can you make change? You can. And maybe that is the plan. I don't know. You know so much more about it than I do, but maybe it is a plan. But your plan and my plan is to get this book into the hands of as many people as we can. And then maybe they'll read it and go, wait a second. First of all, Victor Thorne can't really be printing something that's not true because he would be sued, right?
I would imagine. I name the names. People like Alex Jones, they go around and they talk about the New World Order or the globalists or the elitists.
Right.
And they leave it all in these shadowy conceptual terms. I'm not saying the New World Order did it or the elitists or the globalists. I name the names every single page. And not only are the names there, behind their name then it says Jewish or neocons or Zionists. But the vast majority are Jewish that are listed.
So what's the significance of listing Jewish next to the names?
To reiterate over and over and over again, so there's no mistaking.
So it's not coincidence that all of these, pretty much 99% of all the people who were intimately involved in 9/11 were Jews. That's not a coincidence. That's what you're saying, right?
They're not Arabs. They're not Chinese. They're not Russians. They're not Colombians. And they're not Africans. They're not Germans. They're Jews. And that's why I did it, because some people can read a name and it might not click. So I want there to be zero doubt, so there's no mistaking it. This is who did it. Page after page after page after page, all the names are listed. Their role in it, how they're connected to other people that are Jewish in it. It's a big puzzle that every single piece now has been put in place. It's there.
Right. Let's talk about this Jewish thing, because this is significant, and you're not afraid to talk about anything. I'm not afraid to talk about anything. I wish everybody was like that, because if everybody was like that, then obviously the world would be a lot better place, because why should there be a taboo on anything, really? At least to talk about. Why can't we talk about anything? So let's talk about the Jewish element of your book, where in all the names, you put a hyphen and you put Jewish, or like we said before, Zionist or neocon. The Jewish people are a very tight-knit group. Would you say that that's true?
Well, that's absolutely true.
Okay.
And they have been for millennia because of sheer survival. Everywhere they've ever been, either been genocided, evicted, warred upon, killed, slaughtered, run out of town, for millennia.
They're not really liked overall, it seems. Right. And I guess there's a reason why they're not liked. But without getting into the historical end of it in too much detail or the psychological end of it, throughout their existence, they've been preyed upon, attacked for whatever reason or reasons. There's
the reason
a lot of
because they undermine wherever they go. They want to undermine it and then take it over. That's what they do. They undermine and then take over. And throughout history, when they've been discovered, that's when they've been warred upon, genocide, run out of town, attacked, whatever, is that the veil of illusion has been pulled off and everyone's eyes are opened. And they say, oh, this is who's doing it. And then they get run out of town and they go somewhere else and do the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's happened over and over. And there's actually even lists out there on the internet where people have researched this, historians, and listed every single country that they've been run out of through history. It's not made up. It's historical fact.
Right. So the countries just finally say enough is enough. Get out.
Yeah.
You're causing too much problem in our country. You're destabilizing it for whatever reason or reasons, and we want you out. And they've been ejected, like you said, from many countries going back.
Well, and the reason is that they want control. That's the reason, is they want to take control of the society or country that they have infiltrated. It's pretty simple.
Okay.
In the subtitle of this book, I added 9/11 in the Jewish plot against America. So I don't want this simply to be construed as a neocon thing or a Zionist thing or the Mossad or even the Nation of Israel. It has to go deeper, right down into the crux. And the crux of it all, Dave, is Judaism. That is the cancer of the whole thing. The Judaic religion is the cancer. And that's why I had to include Jewish in there. Even among people that aren't afraid to talk about Israel, they still, a lot of them, make a distinction. We can name Zionists, but we can't really talk about Judaism. So they have a cop out there that, you know, oh, we can't really talk about the religion, but that is the crux. And if you go back to the Talmud, which was originally an oral tradition that developed then into the written Talmud, this is what 9/11 was. Ultimately, was Talmudic sorcery. This was a magical rite. This was a ritual that they performed that day to assume control. And that's what they did that day. They assumed control economically, militaristically, propaganda-wise. Every aspect of American society that day was under their control, because everyone sat in front of their television sets and was hypnotized, transfixed by this. And there was so much fear that day that even now, 10 years later, when people get on an airplane, they willingly allow themselves to basically be strip searched or have these radar machines photograph their bodies in the nude through their clothes. Now, 10 years ago, as Dave McGowan said, who I interviewed for the AFP issue, he said 10 years ago, this would be unthinkable. There is no way this could be done. But because so much fear was inundated that day, that look at what they get away with now.
Right.
Look at it. Some people would disagree with this analysis, but I firmly believe that this was an occult magical ritual that was performed that day that comes straight out of the Talmud.
You're on to something, obviously, because the mathematical probability here of having this many people involved in this plot, being Jewish, obviously that should get someone interested in what you are proposing here.
To take it a step further, right now, another writer for American Free Press, Pete Pappas, is putting together a short book about this, his writings, and then there's going to be a few of mine in there too.
Right.
But it takes it to the next level, even beyond the Zionist level. That this goes right into the magical Talmudic material. And this is hardcore as it gets. It's really intense stuff. If I talked before about that was the major leagues, this is even more major league than that.
Mm-hmm.
And it really gets down then to magic, to sorcery. There was something that transformed us that day, and we will never, ever be the same again as a people. Like, we were altered.
And again, it gets back to what I was saying before, that such a significant event, and nobody's denying that it wasn't significant. I mean, if they did, then you really wouldn't want to waste any time with somebody like that, because this was a very important event. It still is, as you said, and why someone would want to limit discussion of this event to exclude an obviously huge part of it is what is puzzling. And maybe the answer can be found in magic.
Once you get to this level where we're at now, this is scary terrain. This is the real deal. I don't want to allow excuses for people, because I don't believe in that, and I don't want to promote victimization. But let me say I at least understand that people don't want to go here. This is the dark stuff, man. This is the dark, scary world. Most people say, you know what? I just got laid off. My car broke down. My kid's screaming. I can't pay the bills. I can't afford to buy groceries this week. Holy Christ, I don't want to have this stuff on top of me, too. A part of me understands it. But still, if someone can't confront a problem, they're never going to solve the problem.
Right. And that's why 10 years on, maybe it is time to take the gloves off. Maybe it's time not for you. You've already been doing it. Maybe it's time for other people to do it. And I guess they can do it by buying the book. Two ways to get it, and I think there are only two ways right now at least. You go to American Free Press's website, americanfreepress.net. There's a tab there that says store. You click on that, and then the category to the left, you go to the section new because it's a new book, and it's the top one there, and it is called Made in Israel, 9/11 and the Jewish Plot Against America. On the website, it's tagged as 9/11 Plot Made in Israel, and it's $15, which that's relatively inexpensive for a book such as this, considering that nobody else has put this information together in the world, which is amazing. And you can buy it right there, add it to the cart, or alternatively, you can pick up the phone during regular business hours, call toll-free 888-699-NEWS, 888-699-6397, and speak to someone at American Free Press and place your order over the phone. Victor, anything else that you'd like to let the audience know about as far as this book is concerned?
Well, I guess all I'd say is that when I write a book such as this, I approach it like an attorney would with a legal case. And I want to have every single bit of ammunition possible so that when I go before the court or before the judge, I can lay out this case and prove it beyond any reasonable doubt. So there's no shadow of doubt in anybody's mind. So if anybody out there wants to convince people that Israel was behind this, right here is their case. I made the case for them, and I don't think there's any stones left unturned. That you read this book, and if you study it and grasp what it's saying, when you talk to people or you give them a copy of this book, there's no denying it. Guilty. There's no other verdict. Guilty. This isn't like the Casey Anthony trial where she skirted away on some kind of technicality or because the prosecutors didn't quite make their case. There is no other verdict on this. The people behind it were Jewish from Israel with their Israel First neocon buddies in the United States government. It's over, done, case closed, and it's there for you. That's all you need to know.
We only have so much time to select whatever books we're interested in. And of course, we only have so much money to buy them. Why should somebody pay $15 plus shipping to buy this book?
To answer that, I would say that if they're listening to this interview, they've already made how many steps forward? Think of how far they've already removed themselves from the mainstream lies. So if there's somebody sitting in front of the TV every night watching CNN or Bill O'Reilly, and they think that's the truth, I'm not going to convince them to buy this book because they have too much cognitive dissonance. But if someone's listening to your show right now, I don't think I need to convince them. They're already truth seekers. They want to know the truth. And this book is a natural progression for them to go to the next step, to the next level. So I'm sure they're already familiar with the subject of Israel anyway. So all I would say to them is, how far do you want to go? And considering we have a limited amount of time on this planet, from my perspective, I want as much wisdom and as much knowledge as I can possibly drive. That's why I read so many different subjects all the time. I mean, I read history and literature and art and conspiracies and everything. I want to know everything about everything as much as I can. So if someone's listening today, I think it's a no-brainer that these are the kind of people that we want on our side, Dave. These are our people.
What about the people who are listening to this broadcast who hadn't really considered what you're writing about?
I guess what they would benefit from is, say somebody, all they ever ate was Hamburger Helper, okay?
I used to, by the way, just eat Hamburger.
And I like Hamburger Helper, actually. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I'm a simple
it's good
person.
Stuff.
Yeah. But then all of a sudden, somebody gives them a New York strip or a filet mignon or something like that. And they're like, wow, I guess there's something else out there. I like telling myself that I'm wrong. The best thing I've said for years, the best thing a person can do is admit when they're wrong.
Right.
And this book here makes a lot of people admit that the propaganda that we're inundated with on a daily basis is wrong. Israel isn't America's greatest ally. Israel isn't our best friend. Israel isn't any of those things. Israel is our enemy. And I just finished writing on Monday my next book, which is on the Holocaust, and talk about taking it to the next level. Well, here's another one that shows without any doubt whatsoever that this is the biggest lie of the 20th century. So between these two books, you have the biggest lie of the 20th century and the biggest lie of the 21st century. To answer your question, what would somebody benefit? I guess to pose it a different way is, if somebody thinks truth is a benefit, then that's how it benefits them.
Okay. Victor Thorne, author of many books, the latest one being Made in Israel, 9/11 and the Jewish Plot Against America, the missing piece to the mystery of 9/11. I want to thank you so much for taking the time out to explain all this to the listeners, and looking forward to the next time we can speak.
Well, Dave, it's been great. Yours is one of the shows where we can actually go wherever we want to. I've done, hundreds and hundreds of different radio shows, and a lot of the times you have that little nagging thing. It's like you worry about where you can go or not. And with you, there are none of them worries, so it's a real joy to do a show like this.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. I mean, that's my job. Like I said, I think that it would really benefit this whole cause for people to get this book, read it. Can they contact you if they want to?
Yeah, go to the wingtv.net site. There's a contact button there.
So that's wingtv.net, all one word, wingtv. Hey, thanks again, man. Great talking to you.
You're welcome.